Good morning. My name is Bill Kleitke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Ms. Becky Wagner, who is Executive Director of Advocates for Children and Youth. And Becky's here this morning to talk to us about children and youth and their problems and solutions in our state. So Becky, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you so much for coming. First of all, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, could you please tell us a little bit about Advocates for Children and Youth?
Certainly. About 25 years ago in 1987, a group of prominent advocates recognized the fact that our children needed a voice in the legislature, in the community, in the media, and public policy arena. So ACY became that platform, Advocates for Children and Youth. When people think of policy or advocacy, they think of politics. But our job at ACY is simply to show everyone how the issues affecting children and youth matter to them.
Yeah, you would think that that would be a pretty easy sell, but unfortunately, I guess it isn't sometimes.
There are a lot of competing interests, and it's often a challenge to break apart. We look at the whole child. And so if someone says to me, how can I help that poor child? I say, let's look at getting a good job for that head of household, because that will make the biggest difference in a child's life. A stable household, family income that's reliable, it feeds out from there. And then children who appear at the door with struggles and special needs, then those issues can be tackled. But boy, right at the heart of it, is a strong family unit with good income in a safe neighborhood, with reliable mentors and neighbors and friends that a child could look to if mom or dad's not home from work. Those are the little things that we have to worry about once we have children and families in a stable neighborhood.
Yeah, and that takes some doing. That takes some doing.
It takes a lot of both political and community will. Because, for example, you need to recognize that a recreation center or a library is such an asset to a neighborhood and creates such an environment, or that the police officer who is walking the beat is the friend, not the one to be feared, or that the teacher in the classroom isn't having to worry about, this child hasn't had food, this child is coming to school poorly clothed, I know this child needs medication and hasn't had a doctor's appointment. We can't expect teachers to help kids be successful in the classroom when their most basic needs are appearing at the door.
Yeah, yeah. How long has Advocates for Children and Youth been around?
It's a little over 25 years now.
25?
25. It's a long time. I always think that when you have the privilege of working with an organization like this, that you'd like to put it out of business, you know, that you'd like to think that finally children and their families are our priority. And, you know, there, like I said, there are a thousand other things, you know, road construction. Yeah, I know that's important. But look at the facilities right here in Baltimore City. Kids are going to school where there's no heat. Kids are going to school where there's mold on the bathrooms. We need to solve that problem just as we need to solve the road problem.
Yeah, yeah, very true. How long have you been with the organization?
Oh, I've just been here for 20 months.
Ah.
So I felt like this might be my next, probably not last, but my next most important job I've ever done. I've had the privilege of doing interesting and honorable work over my lifetime, but it is all centered around advocacy. I started the first homeless shelter for women in Montgomery County a long time ago, over 30 years ago. And from there, I worked in the homelessness and housing area. I worked for former U.S. Senator Paul Sarbanes for 8 years.
Ah.
Baltimore knows that wonderful gentleman.
Yes.
As does Maryland. And then from there, I went to a national trade association because I literally knew that to be effective, I had to know how work happens on both sides of any legislation or policy work.
Yeah, that's true.
And so then from there, I went to was an organization called Interfaith Works. It's a coalition of 165 congregations, and we work together to meet the needs of the low-income community. And I did that for 11 years before I came here.
Ah, that's good preparation for the way things work in Annapolis and in the Baltimore area.
It certainly is. I mean, we know that one person makes a lot of noise. That might not get the job done, because when you go to Annapolis, one of the lead electeds in Annapolis looked at me one day and said, "Becky, bring me a coalition on this one." And a coalition from the state of Maryland needs to represent all interests. And that's why I think with children, looking at the rural, looking at the urban, looking at the suburban, children have very similar needs. We were just over on the Eastern Shore in October talking to child serving agencies, asking them to identify barriers. They identified the very same barriers that families and communities identified here in Baltimore City and in Prince George's County. So they may look like a different kind of need, but in the end, it's all about health, education, access to services, good jobs for their families, transportation to those services. It's consistent.
Yeah, the basic stuff. How can someone find out more information?
Well, we have a great website, www.acy.org. If you go on that website, you'll see our priorities for 2013, which are we work in four core areas: health, education, juvenile justice, and child welfare. We do all of that work through the lens of economic security and racial equity. So as you look on that website, you'll see those specific areas we've identified where we really believe we can, what the term is now, move the needle, get something done in Annapolis in those areas. We'll also, you'll be able to track all of the testimony we have. You can sign up and we'll send you an email to say when it's important. If this matters to you, it's important for you to contact your legislator now, because legislators are very busy people. And I guess I'm considered a usual suspect because I'm an advocate. But your neighbor around the corner, the constituent, is the person that our elected officials need to hear from.
Right. Indeed. And that's a good point for one of the reasons, many reasons why I wanted to have you on today is because Annapolis is coming up.
Right.
And because, as you said, there are so many competing issues.
Right.
But let's talk about what your organization does and what, frankly, you want our listeners today to take away from this program to maybe help the agenda this session.
Sure. One of the things we want to look at is not the way we are divided, because we hear that national harangue and it can quickly become that in Annapolis or just about even in a small community. We look at the facts. We're a research-based organization. We're the Annie Casey Foundation Kids Count organization here in Baltimore. We collect data. We research data. So what we want to say to you is we're a nonpartisan organization. We want to bring you the facts about an issue. Now, we know that emotions get tied from personal history or experience, but the facts of an issue will often lead you to a solution. Mm-hmm. And so oftentimes we're not even advocating for more dollars, although frankly, there are never enough dollars in the pie that comes to children. But what we really want you to think about is if we're doing something that's not getting good results, stop doing it. Let's look at the best practices, which we are able to identify through our research network. Let's look at those best practices, see what's happening somewhere else that's really working, and pull out what's not working and push in what is working. And then we might have a solution, which in fact could start resolving these issues, not just Band-Aids, but really fixing the issues.
Yeah. It drives me crazy as a as a researcher in several different areas that we ignore what we already know.
And, you know, it's easier to do that. So, and I don't mean easier in a lazy way, but going out on a limb that with new information, we're not very inclined to like to fail, particularly in public. But we both know that there's a lot to learn from a failure. So what we do, and in fact, at ACY, when we evaluate our work at the end of every year, because when you're working on a piece of legislation that may take 3 to 5 years to get through, you have to sit back and look and think, what are we doing right? What aren't we doing right? What is or doesn't work? And so when we do our personal staff evaluations, we look at why did this work? Why didn't it work? where did it work someplace else, and what do we mm-hmm. need to apply here? And mm-hmm. so that's really what we take to many committees, many legislators, publicly and privately, in order to try to effect change over the... And, you know, I like to think that we're trustworthy. Do we have an agenda? Absolutely. It's improving the lives of kids, improving the well-being of children, particularly in the low-income community. But we're not going to jeopardize our reputation by misleading with facts that right. are not true.
Yeah, so that so that's the research part of it. So you said you work with the Annie Casey Foundation.
Yes, yes. We're a Kids Count organization. Uh-huh. I think there are 47 or 48 in the nation. I'm sorry, I don't know the exact uh-huh. number. But we do receive funding from them to gather and maintain data. The Kids Count piece on our website is very exciting. Mm-hmm. And we encourage any advocate in any arena regarding children and child well-being, go to that website. You will find data that's...
It is. It's good.
It's
good.
Great. It's very helpful. It's great yeah. data. And like I say, it's trustworthy.
Let's talk about, we've got a few minutes, and I wanted to make sure that we talk about Annapolis and what you folks see as the most important issues this session in Annapolis, and what folks that are listening to this program should be doing.
Okay, I think if you're living here in Baltimore specifically, that you need to think about there's very important work that's going to go through budget and tax, and it's tied to the school facilities piece. We are in fact part of a partnership with, it's called Transform Baltimore, but it's many advocate groups here in mm-hmm. the city, to in fact define a new way to fund the facilities piece. The city has $2.8 billion in facilities needs. The state, they just announced yesterday, $335 million will be in the state budget. The city's needs dwarf that. And it's not just...
That's seven times just in the city.
That's right. And the city's not the only one in line for needed funds to improve facilities. But I just bring this up because I hope our listeners in Baltimore will be speaking to their Baltimore City delegation, urging them to keep up the fight. They've said that this is their priority and they are going to take it to Annapolis. And we intend to be where they're with them. It's a very creative financing plan that the ACLU has done wonderful work in this area that has in fact given communities from North Carolina to California ways to rebuild their schools and neighborhoods, literally revitalizing their cities based on a fixed ability to pay a bond or a loan. And that has to come out, that has to go through the budget and tax committee in the Senate, go over to the House and come out smiling. It's a very unique and new way of doing something. And you, like I just spoke, it's a little bit uncomfortable when we're doing something new with yeah. a lot of dollars. But we'll be working with Transform Baltimore groups to bring that forward. We also, of course, in education, it always comes down to funding first. And we'll be working with our coalition that we sponsor, the Maryland Education Coalition. We're having meetings with key influencing members on several committees in Annapolis. And there will be times when I would like listeners to watch that website or sign up for the alert list. Because like I said, if our elected officials need a little courage from their neighbors, that you can be that person. You can say, this is important to kids. This is important to Baltimore. And, you know, my kids are grown up. I think I just heard you refer to your kids being grown up. But we have an investment in the kids. My kids enjoyed the benefit of a wonderful public education. This country is a stronger country when our public education is serving our children.
That's for certain.
So it is. Is it a special interest? Absolutely. But it's a special interest for our children and for the future of America, quite frankly.
Yeah, yeah. How can someone sign up for that alert again?
Okay, you're going to make me think about it. But right on the website, there should be learn more or sign up here. And it might be on the right-hand column or it might be on the top on the banner.
And it's there.
And it should be there, okay. Yes.
Unfortunately, Becky, that's all we have time for.
Oh.
Yes, I know. You got to come back. You come back now.
I will. I promise.
Could you give us that contact information one more time, please?
Sure. www.acy.org.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank our guest, Ms. Becky Wagner, who's, who's Executive Director for Advocates for Children and Youth, for being our guest today. Thank you so much, Becky.
Thank you, Bill.
Keep up your good work for all of us. And
thank
come
you.
Back.
I will. I promise.
For Living in Baltimore, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.